Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T, Ray. What's going on, fellas?
Dance for me, boy.
What's that supposed to mean? Dance for me? What's that?
Conor McGregor last week.
Oh, my God.
Said that twice to Floyd Mayweather. A lot of people were outraged. They took it as a – which it was. It was a racist comment, but –
Well, he's Irish, right? So he has his own little
– No, I mean, whenever – but yeah. I guess he hasn't learned that when you use the term – when you're an Anglo-Saxon, European-American, and you use the term boy to an African-American, it's – very
from what I hear, he's been doing it for a while though.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a race baiter. That's what he does best. That's how he sells his fights,
man. We'll talk about it later. We all know that whole thing's a gimmick anyway.
You're gonna get
the most entertaining part right now.
Yeah, this is the most look this last week, and then the 24/7 that Showtime would do. I guess it'll be 2 or 3 weeks leading up to the fight, and then you have the press conference before the fight. That would be the most entertaining parts of the fight.
Yeah, so I don't take it that serious though. But how about the weekend? How was the weekend for everybody?
It was cool. Relaxed. Game of Thrones came back on,
yeah.
And Power was on at the same time. So I was kind of conflicted. I was very.
I must
a very tough life decision to make.
I was stubborn. I was a hater. That thing is like I caught up to. I watched all of Power.
There you go, my man. I told you.
Ghost,
I told you.
Ghost. That's my role model.
I told you. You finally let in.
Huh? I let in, dog.
Peer pressure got to you.
No.
I was a good influence, probably.
He's right. Eventually, but that's.
I'll go to Facebook to talk about it. Yeah. That's how I really.
Seriously?
Yeah, he does big time. But see, the reason why I didn't watch it was because
Lala put him over the top.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's. Well, that's a whole different situation. That's a whole different thing. But the reason why I didn't watch it was because of Al. Because anything Al hypes up, I refuse to watch.
Anything anybody hypes, you don't like.
That's true.
From Reggie Bush to Oz to The Wire.
That's true.
You know what? You're right.
I never got into Oz.
I tried to watch Oz though, but at the beginning too much of that gay stuff. I mean,
you turned it on. No, I know what you're saying.
Sorry, I didn't mean.
I know what you're saying.
But you know, all right, it's a little too strong. You know what I meant.
We're not big enough yet.
And you're right. You're right. Thank you. But too much of that.
Be in the tabloids tomorrow.
But too much of that. I guess that real life jail stuff.
The full frontal jail scenes.
I wasn't trying to see that stuff.
I get it.
You go to your gym rat.
But I don't go to I avoid the locker rooms because of that. Was that supposed to be? I'm a gym rat. I'm supposed to see stuff like that. I try to avoid. I close my eyes.
It's the locker room culture. Locker room.
I close my eyes.
I mean, it's nothing.
Are you a fan of SVU?
I am.
So one of the guys you're referring to,
Stabler was on Oz.
Exactly.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Believe me, I like Oz in the beginning of Oz, they were doing that stuff thoroughly, right? And then towards the end, they really weren't.
Did you watch Empire?
I stopped watching Empire. I know that whole little thing, but again, Empire kind. No.
All right, let's get into our tradition of pregame before you guys take this to a whole nother level and we get.
No, that's his fault.
No, I ain't do anything anyway. Kirk Cousins, our first topic is Kirk Cousins not signing a long term contract extension.
Loving him, Kirk. I'm calling Kirk.
At 8:20, a debate: who's better, Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr? At 8:30, the Washington Nationals trading for A's relievers Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle. At 8:40, we'll discuss what Michael Vick had to say about Colin Kaepernick. And at 8:50, the freak show of Mayweather McGruder. McGregor. I said McGruder. McGregor.
Marylander right there.
McGruder. I know, right? I mentioned Kirk Cousins' contract extension. He didn't sign it. Kirk Cousins decided to play under the franchise tag, which is worth $24 million. He'll get paid $24 million this year. Your thoughts? Well, first off, do you think Kirk Cousins wants to be in D.C.?
Well, he says that he wants to be, that he's open. He says that he's open to signing a contract long-term next offseason, which he said the prior offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Just stepping back and look at everything, I don't think he'll be here.
What about you, Ray?
I think that it's an obvious discussion locally because the Redskins are the local team. Nationally, it's getting some press, though. I've been watching today, and since Kirk Cousins' numbers has been so good over the past two seasons, a lot of people are paying attention. But for a team that continues to try to search or is continuing to search for an identity and trying to win as a whole, I just think it's too much attention on this situation. They need to win.
I mean, winning is the best deodorant that's for anything. It masks everything. But when you have a he's the president of the organization, Bruce Allen, mm-hmm. who came out and made a press release, a videotape, a live stream press release, describing the details of the contract that they offered to Kirk, giving some details of the contract that was offered to Kirk. To me, that screams of manipulation, trying to manipulate the fan base's perspective. What's odd to me is if you're going to make a statement like that, you should have a press conference and you should have the press there to vet your thinking and to ask questions, which he hasn't done. And I know I'm going off on a tangent on this, but to me, it's funny just how this front office or the front office of Washington, they try to manipulate the fan base by having press releases and not giving interviews to the press, to the Washington press. It's funny to me. And I think you as a Washington football fan, if you haven't picked up on this, you should probably be disgusted about it, about how they're handling things.
First of all, this is what Bruce Allen actually had to say.
After discussions with Kirk this weekend, face to face, I wanted to clarify our negotiations for this year. Kurt is obviously an important part of our organization, and it's important to our team and fans to know where we stand. Our goal was to sign Kurt to a long-term contract with a final objective of having him end his career with the Redskins. On May 2nd, right after the draft, we made Kurt an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history, $53 million. It also included a guarantee for injury of $72 million. The deal would have made him at least the second highest paid player by average per year in NFL history. But despite our repeated attempts, we have not received any offer from Kurt's agent this year. Kurt has made it clear to me that he prefers to play on a year-to-year basis. In all of our discussions, he feels comfortable doing that. While we would have liked to have worked out a long-term contract, we respect and accept his decision. We both share high hopes for this season and are looking forward to training camp next week. And we remain hopeful that a long-term contract will be signed in the future.
Which is, we remain hopeful. Yeah, like Will G said, Bruce Allen, I thought the move was dirty.
Well, the move was clearly manipulative. It's him taking the first step.
Mm-hmm.
It's him taking the first step in a, which will be a season long game of chess between Kurt, his agent, versus the Washington football team's front office, and who they're trying to win over and convince is the fan base. Both parties are, because Kurt doesn't want it to seem. Kurt knows that he's probably going to leave, but he doesn't want it to seem as if he's the bad guy when he has to jet and leave town.
I just think and I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan. Folks know that. I don't want to say I hate on him, but I'm not the biggest fan. But at the same time, like, keep that in house. If you're Bruce Allen, keep that contract stuff in house. There's no, what does that do but put pressure on Kirk Cousins? Because if he throws an interception, then people will look at it like, oh wow. Like, you spurned us on for this? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's so much pressure to play well.
I have a question for you as a fan. Why is Bruce Allen still around?
I don't know.
Because he has connections within the Washington, D.C. area. And he has connections within the league. And he has great relationships between other front office executives.
Because look at the stuff that happened with Scott McGloin. I mean, and this is actually a pattern of disrespect, in my opinion.
No, you know what financial data he should release? release the team's net operating income from this past season. How about you do that? How about you do that? How about you release the net operating income from the past five seasons? Since NFL teams don't release how much income they make, the owners don't release how much income the teams make. How about that? How about you start with that? Then you tell us about what you offer Kirk Cousins.
Man. We all know the NFL ownership or higher up, so that's a mafia in its own right.
Well, no, I mean, Green Bay has to release the information because
they're owned by the fans.
Mm-hmm. But how about you do that? Why don't you tweet that out? Tweet out this part of the show to Bruce Allen and to Washington football team. Tell them if you want to release some financial data, release the operating income that you've made from the past 5 years. Forget the 5 years since Daniel Snyder took over the team. How about that?
On Twitter, my man Glad Hoyer says he thinks Kirk Cousins wants to be in the NFL. He thinks he needs to prove himself in the upcoming season.
Prove what? This is what baffles me about the fan base. You're a fan base, right?
Yeah.
And I know I'm sounding like I'm going off. And,
you are, man. It's cool.
This guy has thrown for a franchise record. He's set the franchise record 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
Had a touchdown to interception ratio of 2-1. Mm-hmm. Has completed over 60% of his passes, yeah. Right? Both years. Both years he's been a starter. Yeah. What the hell else do you want him to prove? He can't win a playoff game by himself because it's a team effort. You need a defense. You need an offensive line. You need other things. And don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, but I just it's baffling to me when I hear your fan base, the fan base of the team you support, yeah. When they always say, well, he can't get paid until he wins a playoff game. That's BS. He doesn't go out there and play defense also.
Yeah, but see, this is my argument. And this is my argument to that, though. All right, we're going to talk about him later. David Carr's the Raiders' defense was horrible last year. Horrible last year. And he had that team
Oh, that's kind of subjective. They have pass rushers and they have cornerbacks.
But you still – the Redskins were probably – they were one spot above the Redskins, about a couple spots. They're that bad. They were that bad.
This is what I'm saying. You had a historically bad defense last year when it comes from the perspective of third down conversions.
People gonna throw that, but still a bad defense is a bad defense, right? Am I correct?
True. So a bad defense is a bad – but let me ask you this question. Is it his fault that your defense is so bad?
Who, David?
Kirk.
No, I totally agree. No, I totally agree with that. But at the same time, can we say during that season last year the defense make plays to win games? There are a couple games we can say that, right? So is that taken away from the defense as well?
No, it's not.
So that's what it's still a team aspect. When I'm looking at franchise quarterbacks, right? There are certain franchise quarterbacks, that can play well and uplift their team even with bad defenses. We've seen that in the NFL. I'm not calling.
I think that's fair.
My issue. I think the Redskins should re-sign Kirk Cousins because again, you can win with him if you build things correctly around him. Totally agree with that. That thought process. But at the same time, we use the term franchise quarterback for Kirk Cousins. I have an issue because franchise quarterback is that. I mean, you're that dude. You're that dude. If you're gonna use that term,
over the past 2 years, he's been the greatest quarterback in your franchise.
Who used the term subjective? Was that you?
Yes.
I want to agree with that, and especially from Will T's perspective, because we're kicking around the term franchise quarterback. Who are some franchise quarterback? I'm gonna look at one person. Is Matt Ryan a franchise quarterback, Will?
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
But he struggles in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yes. But
so does your success in the playoffs define whether you can be a franchise quarterback? Yes or no, Wally?
No. I won't say that.
Isn't Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback?
Because I feel like you mentioned Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has won games and just in terms of the eye test. And even the seasons, within seasons.
He went out and won the game for you against the Packers.
The Packers, who are poor defense.
He went out and won the game against you, against Philadelphia.
Poor defense that year, in terms of against the pass.
He went out and won the game for you against Chicago, who's a terrible team fan.
Exactly, you know.
But he's going out and all he could do is win the games that he plays in. Team plays good.
Oh, this is the thing. If you were that dude, we can go back. Obviously, it's going to be a sore point for many Redskins fans. The Giants game. The Giants are playing second stringers in the third quarter and fourth quarter. You can't produce.
Your defense still played poorly.
They gave up how many points? I'm gonna say 19, if that. But that's after the interception. They kicked the field goal after the interception. So 16, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Your offense is supposed to be prolific. You're the quarterback. You're the prolific passer.
But this is the one thing about us as football fans. One thing we don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
we can't truly go back, watch that game, and evaluate the game plan, right? And know if the game plan was a game plan that's conducive to Washington beating the Giants. Would you say that? Is that true or not?
That's true. I'm not going to take that away
from you. Well, yeah, there were a lot of questions, I think, in my mind about Sean McVay last year, especially in the red zone, about his decision-making. It wasn't all on Kirk, but to me, talent wins over no matter who you have calling the shots.
Yeah.
We've seen that constantly with guys like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck. No matter what the situation is coaching-wise, if you have talent, you're going to find an open guy. You're going to make adjustments. Russell Wilson even.
Yeah, I agree. I think
winners are winners. The Matt Ryan debate, the reason why I brought that up is because up until last season, Matt Ryan didn't have the greatest success in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But many would consider him a franchise quarterback. Will doesn't like him. And
it's not that I don't. It's not that I don't like him, right? I think that he has been
– He's had good talent.
He's had success – Right, he's had the success because of the talent around him, which I think you can easily say about this quarterback the last two seasons. Yeah. He had DeSean Jackson and he had Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed.
That's not true. For the simple fact that Matt Ryan, as a rookie, led the Falcons after
Michael Vick,
Bobby Petrino, the mess that it was, and they went 10-6 and went to the playoffs. Now, they lost that game against Arizona, at Arizona, but still, as a rookie, his first touchdown, his first
pass. Hold on, let me, so you said his rookie season, right?
Yeah.
Will you hold on? Okay, Matt Ryan was the number, what, 3 pick overall?
Yes.
So they had one of the worst schedules that following year. That's why you have success. Part of it can be attributed to that.
Michael Vick was the number 1 overall pick.
No, I understand.
Atlanta turned around and followed.
I understand that, but I think you can attribute some of that to them having a bad schedule. Some of that success he had can be attributed to them having a bad schedule.
His first game was against Chicago. Brian Urlacher, back when Chicago's defense was stout. And he won that game. When a game went in past, Matty Ice, the legend began then. It's not all about the talent. And Atlanta's historically had a bad defense. But back to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, based on his numbers, is a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. And I think
numbers. So it's Russell. So numbers is Russell Wilson a franchise quarterback?
Absolutely. Yes.
His numbers aren't even close to many passing
wide
receivers.
He wins.
So he winning. Contributes to being a franchise quarterback.
When I mean, there are plethora.
We gonna include everything.
There's like a plethora everything? Of criteria.
Phillip Rivers,
franchise
great,
quarterback.
Great example.
He's a franchise
puts up
quarterback.
Great numbers every year, but his team.
That's not
most.
That's not Phillip Rivers' fault. He wins games.
Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
You walk right down. You walk right down the lane.
And you know, because Phillip Rivers wins games. Like, he'll win games. He'll be clutch. Kirk Cousins ain't clutch.
Kurt has won you a game. He won when he came in as a rookie against the Ravens.
One play I'm talking about is a starting quarterback. Kirk Cousins, isn't clutch at all. Like, he's not clutch at all. And don't name – and I'm going to say this too. Now I'm going to be real. Like, don't give me he beat the Eagles. He beat the Bears. He beat the the Buccaneers. At that time, don't name them squads to me, because you know what? At the end of the day, if Ray is playing, say – a 10-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old. The 10-year-old may hit like six buckets in a row, right? Ray's down.
I don't think that's a very fair comparison.
Okay, no,
I'm sorry.
I'll give you a better example. I'm playing Harold. Oh, boy. I'm playing Harold, right?
Nobody knows.
And Ray will understand this. I'm a better basketball player than Harold. Harold will be up on me 15-10. I'll come back and beat Harold. I'm not going to yell and say I'm clutch. Because I'm way better than Harold. I'm supposed to be Harold. Why am I going to say I'm clutch? That's something I'm supposed to do. When you play Sisters of the Poor, you dog Sisters of the Poor.
Rivers wins the game she's supposed to win.
He beat the Broncos. The Broncos were good in the NFC and AFC West. Oh, that's a good defense.
You're going to be able to find some examples with him. But my point is, if you compare the two, it's the same thing.
No. It's apples to apples.
Yes, it is.
Don't do that.
Y'all know who it's a dog to, is a dog. Kirk Cousins ain't no dog. You want to tell me Kirk Cousins is a dog compared to Phillip Rivers?
Again, based
listen,
on numbers.
Compared, if we're going off of numbers.
Numbers lie.
I understand that numbers lie, but this is what you fans of this team, you switch up the criteria so much for evaluating if you're going to say if Kurt is a franchise quarterback or not. It's confusing, actually. It's very confusing.
Man, it's time for a break. We get back from the break. We'll talk about Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr. Who's a better quarterback? This is the Urban Sports
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Hold up. You know what it is. Do it for my city, because that's where I live. Hey, 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 hold up. Hey, stop fighting. Hey, hurry, hey, know that hey, so hey, welcome to my city. Hey, the home of the brothers. Burgundy and gold. Burgundy and gold. I put it down for the Nats and the Caps and the Burgundy and gold. Burgundy and gold. What's up? Hold up. Hold up. I gotta get it. Gotta get it. Home of the skin, so you know I'm with it. For sure.
Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. We just got tweeted. My man Chris Brown said, "Wally, you're the biggest Kirk Cousins hater in the world." Appreciate that, man. I love you, homie.
sometimes you got to be non-biased in your argument.
Really, you do. I think you are very biased.
How am I biased?
Because you won't take our perspective and say, you know what? Damn, maybe I'm wrong. And we just proved you wrong twice.
No,
while we're a commercial break. Okay, let's have a conversation you want to have, Calm. Now. Yes, we are, and you're about to prove yourself wrong. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go, man. Relax.
I am relaxed. I am relaxed, bro.
Relax.
I am, bro. But okay, let's go.
Go.
It's a very passionate argument.
It really is. Come on.
And I'm not even a fan of this team, but I just it frustrates me to hear this fan base argue about, is he a franchise quarterback? Is he not? When you haven't had a decent quarterback in almost 25 years.
Relax.
I am relaxed.
All right. Brad Johnson is rolling over in his grave.
Brad Johnson right like that, man. I love Brad Johnson. People keep forgetting about Brad. Anyway,
Jason Campbell's rolling over.
Shut up, Brad. Open quarterback Derek Carr is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Cousins aspires to be like Derek Carr. He wants that top spot. Who at right now is the better quarterback?
Look at the numbers.
I think you is misleading to say Derek Carr is the number one. That's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the best quarterback.
No, I know. I'm saying it's misleading because it's misleading to say he's the highest paid because Andrew Luck has more guaranteed money than either one of them. So depending on the metric that you're looking at, are you taking the total dollars of the contract? Are you evaluating the guaranteed dollars? So I think
per year. Okay,
you gotta put that out there.
So Carr is getting 25 per year, so it's the most per year.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate that.
Help me make.
Here's the thing: we evaluate numbers, right? Numbers typically is a good indication of how someone performs, right? That's how we determine things in the business world, right?
It's
so
true.
We're looking at Kirk Cousins, 67% completion percentage last season.
Yeah.
David Carr, 63%.
Derek Carr, my bad. David played for.
My bad, Derek Carr. You know it's easy to make that mistake.
I know, me too. I make mistakes all
the
time.
And I actually wrote Derek. Okay. Yards, Kirk Cousins last season threw for 4,917 yards. In comparison to Carr's 3,937. Carr played one less game in the regular season. Now, touchdowns are where the biggest differential comes in. 25 for Kirk, 28 for Derek Carr. Now, career-wise, they played just about the same amount of games. Kirk has played actually 46. Derek Carr has played 47 games. 12,113 total yards for Kirk Cousins in his career, 72 touchdowns, versus 11,194 yards for Derek Carr,
yeah.
81 TDs. That's 9 more than Kirk.
Yeah.
But Kirk, from a completion percentage standpoint, from a yardage standpoint, has outperformed him in almost the same amount of games.
Yeah. So my question, because we're looking at stats, and that's fair to look at stats.
Derek Carr is a stronger arm, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes the biggest difference, which is why I think he throws for more touchdowns.
Derek Carr, his ceiling is higher than Kirk Cousins. Like, this is what Derek Carr is. His third year?
He just completed his third year, yes.
His third year. So his ceiling is high. We're talking about a guy his third season.
As starter.
As a starter, you know, at the age of what?
Going into
25. He was 25 at the time.
Well, his situation is different if you compare him to Kirk.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, you're looking at the ceiling, like, yeah, I'm going to take Derek Carr because he's a younger quarterback. He's a younger quarterback. It's a fact. Kirk Cousins is approaching, he's 29, approaching 30.
Yes.
Derek Carr's 25, so, and he's getting better. He's been getting better every year. And if you're looking at,
but it's,
once he gets to 30 or 31 or whatever, he'll be better than what he is now. That's what the projection is.
It's fair to say that Kirk is getting better every year. He's progressed.
Yes.
From it, he's progressed from a standpoint of his knowledge of the system that Washington runs,
yeah,
offense, and from a numbers perspective, he's getting better.
Yeah,
He's steadily going up and, you know, steadily increasing his production.
Now, I like Amari Cooper. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, and Amari Cooper's one of the top
young
up-and-coming receivers, obviously. I just want to put that out there. But the only argument I have, and this is the primary argument, I think, for Derek Carr, if we're comparing the two, is if you give Derek Carr, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed,
Pierre Garçon, Vernon Davis, and also Crowder,
Jameson Crowder. I think Derek Carr will have a monster season.
And correction.
And throw Kirk more Cousins, touchdowns.
I'm going to correct myself. He's 28, turning 29.
Okay.
So I had to correct myself. But, and I agree with that point, right?
If you give him that many weapons, I think it would be a scary season. And Derek Carr, their running game isn't even the greatest.
Not last year. Last year wasn't the best. And we're also forgetting that Derek Carr was an MVP candidate last year.
Before, but again, the numbers.
That's because the Raiders were winning. They were 12-4.
Yeah, and you taking, but you do got to take a point. And like I said,
they beat playing with the Raiders in the
yeah, they beat exactly. Shut up, Rick. You got to take. You got to put in there in context that again he did it with pretty much being the guy to do it. It wasn't like he had to carry that one side of the field. That carried the team. That Oakland Raiders defense wasn't good. Derek Carr carried that team. And Amari Cooper, which we do like, was injured a lot last season.
I love Amari Cooper.
And he wasn't the same Amari Cooper that we saw his rookie year.
I agree with that. I think if you switch personnels and Kirk goes to Oakland and vice versa, I think Derek Carr has a historic year in terms of numbers because the Redskins have so many weapons. And the Redskins had a running game that was, I want to say, better in the second half of the season. With Fat Rob back there, who slimmed down, by the way. I'm interested to see that going forward. But overall, it is a very good comparison as far as the franchises go. You can't say that Derek Carr is in a better situation from a franchise standpoint because Oakland has been a mess, too, just as long as the Redskins have.
Well, let me ask you this question, right? Because you're a fan of the football team. Would you be upset if Kurt signed a Derek Carr-like deal?
Good question.
Do you think that per the contract he's being overpaid?
I would think he's overpaid, but I wouldn't be pissed. Because I feel like, again, the whole premise of it, I'm not mad if we keep him, mad if we lose him. If we keep him, I think it's cool because I think you can still win with him. But I don't think it's the end all. Is it the end of the world if you don't keep Kirk Cousins? Because, again, he's not, to me, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. If I'm losing them, I'm devastated. But you're not losing that. You know what I mean?
And so in essence, you're saying that Kirk is easily replaceable.
Yeah. In my opinion, this is the thing for me is that, like, even look at this draft class.
So even though it's taking you 20 some odd years to find a quarterback,
the issue with that is management.
I totally agree that. But this is the thing though. But if you know management is prone to effing up,
yeah, you're good.
Cool. And not being able to find a even average quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say that give me the guy that we have and I'm gonna rock out with him because we've had some level of success that we haven't had in this franchise over the past 25 years?
No, again, my preference is to keep him. I'm not gonna act like it. That's my preference is to keep him.
Okay.
Like the pieces you do have around him is good enough for him to win. I think it's good enough for him to win. My thing is that I'm not going to act like the world is going to end if you don't keep him. Because he's not that guy. Like,
well,
he's not a Matt
where
Ryan.
Where do you turn from Kirk?
Or Nate Sunfield. Sunfield.
I'm not believing
Colt McCoy.
No, I'm not believing. Look, I'm not believing all that. My thing is that I love the draft class.
Brian Hoyer.
I love the draft class. Like, this draft class is. I've been touting this draft class for a minute. I've been waiting for some of these guys.
Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod is decent.
Good. Don't say because you know.
No, Tyrod is pretty decent.
Yeah, you know Tyrod.
He doesn't win though.
Mike Glennon.
That's a joke.
Brock Osweiler.
Like Mike Glenn is already signed up.
I mean, but it's essentially a one-year deal.
What he's trying to say is there's not much out there.
I didn't say – what did I just – I talked
about Colin Kaepernick.
I talked about the draft class.
You did.
I talked about the draft
that
class.
That means you have to basically –
So essentially
– I'm cool with the draft
class. No, I mean, no. So what you're saying essentially is you're refuting your prior point, which you consistently do, Wally, which is you feel comfortable that this administration or this front office could find – another quarterback in the draft. Something that they haven't been able to do in 20 years.
No. I didn't say that was my point. My point was never – that wasn't in my point.
No, but if you're saying draft – if you're saying draft class
– What I stated is, you wouldn't be correct about it. What I stated is that I have no issue going – this draft is deep. I have no issue going into the draft. But I did – at the same time, what did I say? I said that I have no issue with keeping Kirk Cousins. I said that my preference is to keep Kirk Cousins.
Yes, I understand that.
And to add to that, I did say, like, if he's gone, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to stand by it.
Because you feel comfortable with – if you keep saying draft class, right? No, this is what I'm saying. If you keep saying draft class, then obviously in order to draft the right person, you would have to have belief in your front office mm-hmm. that they will pick the correct quarterback, which is something you haven't been able to do in 25-plus years.
I'm talking about players in terms of – everybody's different in terms of what the draft class – you can hit on anybody, right?
Like, no, you can't hit on anybody because, in essence, your point.
Like Ernie Grunfeld hit on John Wall. He's a bad general. He's a bad GM, right?
That was simple.
That's my point.
That was simple. See, no, that's because look, but look, this but you just, but you use the, no. Listen to me. Uh-huh. Allow me to talk. Uh-huh. Ernie Grunfeld hit on John Wall because the Wizards had the number one pick.
Okay.
John Wall was light years head and shoulders above everyone else with the number one pick.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you're willing to have a bad season mm-hmm. to get a high pick mm-hmm. in order for you to get a quarterback.
All I'm saying, you can hit even the worst general managers can hit on talent. Bradley Beal wasn't head over heels better than anybody, and Ernie hit on Bradley Beal. The worst general managers can pick up anybody. It can happen if the draft is deep enough.
But this is the only thing I'm saying is, if over 20 years you haven't been able to do it, I wouldn't have a lot of faith.
But you told me on this show that you have no faith in Ernie, right?
Absolutely.
And he's hit on too, right?
Harrison Barnes was better.
It was not easy.
Yes, it was. To me, it was. If you watched basketball and you saw him play, then you saw baby Ray Allen.
It was that simple. Was Bradley Beal head over heels better than everybody? Like John Wall was Bradley
in my opinion?
Yeah.
At the number three pick?
Yeah, who was number one in that draft? And somebody, like, who was number one in that draft?
I forgot. That's the year that Andre Drummond and those guys came out.
But that's neither here nor there. But still, like, but you couldn't tell. I'm like, I'm not going to say that Bradley Beal was head over heels better than everybody.
I thought Bradley Beal was picking at the number three pick. I thought Bradley Beal was the superior. Compared to Deion Waiters, compared to Harrison Barnes, I saw Bradley Beal play. I thought his game transitioned better to the NBA than those guys. In my opinion. That's my opinion.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. So, I mean, in my opinion, in terms of what is out there in the draft, there are about five dudes. I don't feel like you can't really mess up if you get one of the five.
Okay.
That's just my
Anthony opinion. Davis was number one pick.
Okay, yeah. Which is head over heels over everybody.
Anthony Davis was number one.
Easily.
Easily. Easily. Without a doubt.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist
was number two. Then Bradley Beal.
And then you had, obviously, Andre Drummond, Harrison Barnes.
Deion Waiters.
Damian Lillard, Deion Waiters. Damian These Lillard. Guys all picked after
and Damian Bradley Lillard. Bill. Yeah, which is Damian Lillard, which was probably the best player, well, other than Anthony Davis in that draft. But back to it, though, I'm not, again, like, in this draft class, which I do like, and this is one of the arguments I have, even with the whole, like, Kirk Cousins, where he's going to go, this draft is deep. It's a deep draft.
Okay. I mean, everyone says it's draft. But you fail to take into account that you have to have the right people making the draft picks.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I just don't want picks, bro.
I just don't want Kirk's career to be ruined. I mean, you talk about a strong draft, which means Kyle Shanahan, who was the primary suitor for Kirk Cousins, could say, you know what, I don't need him. I'm going to draft somebody good next year.
That's true.
That's true.
And Kirk Cousins could be ruined by all this, man.
I mean,
because an owner and a general manager don't like him.
Not president.
And that's a good point. Race talked about in terms of Kirk Cousins' future, in terms of where he's going to go. If you're a bad team, like if you're the Niners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you love Kirk Cousins, right? The Niners are going to probably be bad next year. We agree. Can we all agree to that?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely have a top five pick.
Top five pick. When you go a cheaper route, getting a young quarterback.
Well, no. That,
if you're a bad team, you know what I mean? If you have nothing to work with.
You pick right up now, guys you're familiar with.
Yeah.
Tibbs and Jimmy Butler.
That's fair. That's a fair point, though. That's a fair point.
Touche.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I still don't think I still think the Niners are getting somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is you're biased.
I think he's going to actually, you know what? To be honest with you, I am semi-biased.
No, but ask yourself this, right?
I think he'll go to Arizona, though.
No, ask yourself this. If you are the Niners, you have, like, you'll have, like, $67 million in cap room, right? Mm-hmm. And you have, let's say, the number two or three pick.
Yeah.
And there are, let's say, like five impact players. Why wouldn't I sign Kirk Cousins then get me another impact player that I know can also help change the course of my franchise?
And depending on who's in the draft. Like, this is a deep – you know, we watched the NFL draft. We already know you're a talented quarterback. If you're a top-tier quarterback in a deep draft, 9 times out of 10, they're going to draft quarterback. We've seen it with the Chicago Bears when they – took a reach on the kid from North
Carolina. Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky, yeah. So I'm just saying, like, in terms of how the NFL works.
Even Carson Wentz.
In terms of how the NFL works, if this is supposed to be a highly touted quarterback draft, 9 times out of 10, quarterbacks will be rolling in this draft.
You can find quarterbacks anywhere, though, in the draft, man.
But they all go in the first round, though. Even the bad ones go in the first round.
This is what I, whenever people say you can find quarterbacks anywhere in the draft, okay, that's cool. Why haven't more teams found? No, why haven't more teams found a franchise quarterback then?
No, I agree. No, I agree with that point. I'm just saying that how NFL teams work.
I get
value you more. They just get.
No, drafted. I get it. I get what you're saying. But everyone says, oh, you can get a quarterback in the draft. You can get a quarterback in the draft. The Jets haven't done it.
No, the Ravens haven't done it.
St. Louis Rams haven't done it.
The Cowboys did it.
Finally. Yeah. How after what? After 20 some odd years since having Troy? Well, no, you had Aikman, Romo wasn't drafted.
My point.
What I'm saying. It's not, but everyone keeps saying that.
Y'all just trying to kill me on like.
No, this is what I'm saying. Like, everyone says is like finding a quarterback is the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do.
I didn't say it was. I just said you can find a quarterback anywhere in the draft. That's all I said.
You can, but. Not everyone is able to do it because
a lot of guys that's been taken at the top of the draft who stink.
Absolutely. Achilles Smith.
Easy. Ryan
Jamarcus
Lee,
Russell.
Keep going.
Ryan Leaf.
Vince Young.
Eric Crouch.
Terrible. Heath Shuler.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of bad guys at the top.
JP Lossman. EJ Emmanuel.
EJ Emmanuel. Keep
Christian going, Christian Ponder.
Keep that was going. See, again, that's a joke. Keep see, going. Again, like those are the reaches though. You know what I mean? Like you knew Christian Ponder wasn't a quality NFL
I thought he wasn't, but evidently Minnesota's front office did.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody drafts a quarterback early in the draft.
Look at the poor Jaguars. They have drafted quarterbacks at the top
like
of the draft
Bortles
almost every year.
Like, I thought Bortles is okay.
I think Bortles is going to end up being okay. You just have to put the right things
but
around
him. You just drafted a quarterback.
Like
Blaine Gabbert.
You had
exactly. A Blaine.
The problem is you stop listening to these idiots.
No,
The NFL
he
is so pressed.
He has a big arm. Blaine Gabbert
like,
has
the
a big
like,
arm.
NFL teams are so pressed to find a quarterback where – and they're just so pressed to find a quarterback. Don't give up.
Hold on. This is another
– a lot of the best quarterbacks in the league aren't even top draft picks. Do you realize that?
I have a curious hypothesis of why Kurt hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah.
If we notice all the players that have come to Washington and been paid, what have they had in common? When I say Clinton Portis, RG3, LeVar Arrington.
They've been bums after, like, they've been hurting after.
No, they have big personalities. They have marketable been paid yet because Kirk Cousins, I mean, you could say swag. You can say that he isn't the most marketable, doesn't have the biggest personality.
I think, as a person, I like Kirk Cousins.
Because
no, I think he just doesn't have that it factor. Because we all know if RG3 had the type of season.
Yeah, easily.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, easily.
No. How the games evolved, RG3 looked like he was going to be that transcendent type of guy.
Right, his personality and his play.
That was getting Champ Bailey out of here and getting something in return. LeVar Arrington was at the top of that draft. You had to take him. He was the best player in the draft.
No, but I'm saying the players who get paid when they come to DC, when they get that big paycheck, they all have one thing.
They have
charisma. They have that personality that he could put out in front of the camera.
Like that.
That's like one saying, bro.
I don't see the fan base being going overly wild or being overly excited about Kirk Cousins' personality.
It's about winning.
No,
that's
fair,
all it's
though.
About. Steve Nash is boring, but he won. So you got to.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this team that is 5 miles down the street from the studio.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
I think right. That, to me, I just found it. I was sitting back and I was thinking about it. I think that may play a part of why he isn't the highest paid player in the NFL.
I can't argue with you on that, but Wiltie, you the one that always pushed it. It's a business.
It is a business.
Yeah.
So you can't be too mad about the and the team is always going to be supported. So he's playing with a good hand.
Yeah, he is. He's got the best hand that anyone has ever had.
An excellent hand.
That's true. It's time for commercial break. We get back from break. We'll talk about the Nationals. They have improved their bullpen. We'll talk about it after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Saints.
For ages. Deuces.
I know, right? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Oh, I decided to scrap it. We're scrapping the Nats, the bullpen.
The
Nats, cool?
Yeah. Why beat a dead horse? We know that they need work, and right now the Dodgers, the hottest team in the league, they have the best.
I mentioned the Dodgers. I did mention the Dodgers last week.
And they do have. I mean, they're the hottest team in the league. I can't argue with that.
That's
who you're looking for. That's who you're looking to catch. So you got to bolster that bullpen, no doubt.
Yeah, real need to say real things. That's all I'm gonna say, dog.
Real,
yeah. You know what I'm talking about, bro. Anyway, Will T brought this to my attention. I didn't know about it till Will T told me about it.
It's a big story.
I know it is a big story.
Where are you?
I don't know, man. Working, you know how it is, man. Hustling, you know, trying to be the next ghost.
okay.
Anyway, Michael Vick had some things to say about Colin Kaepernick.
We got to properly cite it. Michael Vick was on FX1.
Yeah, I got the audio.
Fox Sports 1 on the Jason Whitlock. I don't know how you guys feel about Jason Whitlock. I'm not a huge fan of his. I think sometimes he makes valid points, but I think for the most part, not a huge fan of his. On his show yesterday, which is entitled Jason Whitlock Show.
What's it called? I used to call it FX. It used to be The Herd. He used to be on The Herd. Now he's
what? Don't even matter.
On Fox Sports 1. Anyway, Michael Vick had comments about Colin Kaepernick. Here they are.
You went through a situation where, for lack of a better word, toxic, coming out of prison. A lot of controversy around you because of the dog fighting deal. Tony Dungy wrapped his arms around you and helped get you back into the NFL. That's what I want to see from Colin Kaepernick, a football person, him get involved with. And I think he needs to actually talk and put his name on what he feels about the NFL and wanting to play. I think he needs to speak for himself.
I think he really does. First thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
That's a fascinating thing to hear you say, Mike.
That he needs to do is, you know, just try to be presentable. I mean, look, so all the social media stuff that he's doing, look, we get it. We understand it. It's time for, you know, Collins to step up in a different way. And, you know, I think primarily the reason why he's not signed to a team right now is because of the last two seasons and not being as productive as everybody, you know.
Let me just ask you a question, because I kind of chuckled when you said he had cut his hair, because I just thought you didn't like the hairstyle. But you're actually saying that it represents something.
Yeah, I just think perception and image is everything. And listen, it's not the Colin Kaepernick that we've known, you know, since he entered the National Football League. And I'm just going off my personal experiences, but listen, I love the guy to death, you know, but I want him to also succeed on and off the field, and this has to be a start for him.
I think things were taken out of context, because Michael Vick obviously gave him a lot of praise, Colin Kaepernick, and he was basing his comments off personal experience, as he said. But here's my point, and this is the last thing I'll say on this, is when you got a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., look at his hair. Look at sports as a whole, Birdman, Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. For years and years, we accept people when they're talented, how they are. It doesn't matter what you look in the NBA, you can be tatted up. If me and you go to work looking like J.R. Smith or go to an interview, we're not going to get hired. But this is the world of sports where you can do these things. So his hair, to me, has nothing to do with it. It's all about his political stance. And we covered the big three last week. Abdul Rayouf said, this is exactly what happened to me. I was blackballed because of my political stance.
Well, no, I think he's looking at it from the wrong perspective. Michael Vick is looking at it from the perspective of a road to redemption and being apologetic, and that's from Michael Vick's perspective of when he was incarcerated for not a bad decisions he was making, but a lifestyle that he chose. Right. From my perspective, Colin Kaepernick has nothing to be apologetic about. Colin Kaepernick didn't do anything to disrespect anyone. He took a very silent stance against an injustice that he fought against, a system that he feels is unjust and that's ripe with white supremacy. Right. So for Michael Vick to say the first thing he needs to do is clean up his image. No, he doesn't need to clean up his image. Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed because of a stance that he's taking. NFL owners and maybe on some level coaches maybe don't want that noise that may come along with Colin Kaepernick in their locker room, because they view it as potentially as a distraction, a bunch of questions that they will have to answer week in and week out.
I said I won't go make any more comments. I got one more thing to say. I totally agree with that, but it's a combination of that plus he's not as talented as.
See, this is what upsets me, right? I know, like, everyone comes out and they make the argument that he's not talented. Do you know Colin Kaepernick has been in the NFL for 6 years? Out of those 6 years, Three of those years, he's had a passer rating of 90 plus. Mm-hmm. Two of those years, he's had a passer rating of 80 plus. Only one year, he's only had a passer rating of 70, and that was a 79. What, right? And then last year, Colin Kaepernick had a 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So when people make when we come up with the excuse that he isn't talented enough, I think that's BS, because you see a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a terrible, atrocious season last year. He's employed.
No, what I was going to say is he's not as talented as others who have still made, like Michael Vick was able to come back to the league because his talent was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Colin Kaepernick isn't talented. He's not as talented as guys who take a stance, like a Muhammad Ali, for example, who can continue in his sport. It happens all the time where people, they have these ugly views, or they have views people disagree with, but they're so talented you can't pass
them. You can deny.
Oh, like Riley Cooper.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
But then,
Riley Cooper, that's an organization that chose the same organization that chose Michael Vick. But like Ray Rice can't even get back in the league, and he was super talented. If you ask me, you know,
but
it's just
this is what I'm saying. You can't that's not a fair fundamental argument for the point that Colin Kaepernick last year had a quarterback rating of 90.9. Colin Kaepernick last year had a touchdown to interception ratio of 4-1. The man who he took the quarterback position from, Blaine Gabbert, is employed. He's on an NFL team. Yeah. So whenever people give me this BS that he isn't talented or he can't play, that's total BS.
It didn't translate to wins. Yeah, it don't matter. Terrell Owens was a headache, but he would help your team win.
Blaine Gabbert's play didn't translate to wins.
Yeah, but he's
employed. He's not a headache to deal with, though.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
He's not a headache.
How is he a headache to deal? But this is where I think everyone is brainwashed by the media. How is he a headache to deal with? All he did was take a knee.
No, I don't think he was a headache at all. But this is the thing that with Colin Kaepernick and his issue. It's not an issue. Is that in the NFL? It's unfortunate, and because he's, you know, I feel like an alpha dog anyway. But because his play didn't dictate wins, they don't want him as a backup. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want him as a backup.
I don't understand that.
And they'd rather have a Blaine Gabbert who knows his place. And what I mean by that is he knows he's a backup.
Real T, you said it in the very beginning, and this is where I'm coming from. It's perception.
Yeah.
Maybe headache is the wrong term, but he's a perceived distraction. You said that. Those are your words.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying, though. It's a perceived
distraction. He's not going to help you win. What's the point?
It's a perceived distraction, but his coach – Chip Kelly has already come out and said he was not a distraction. He was not a distraction last year.
His teammates voted him like
– They voted him team captain, the most popular player on the team.
I think we all know he's been blackballed. That's like
of course.
I mean, that's not even an argument.
For these reasons.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think the reason that he hasn't found a job is because, again, is that he has starting qualities, right?
But this is the thing, though.
I get that.
But this is the thing, though. If I'm an NFL owner or a coach, wouldn't I want a guy on my team that's going to come in every day and continue to push the starter just to let him know, you know, it's not sweet. You got to come here every day and compete. Seattle, what's that? That's a culture that's thriving on competition, right?
Yeah.
But then if you're Pete Carroll, you come out and you say that we believe Colin Kaepernick is a starting quarterback, but we don't have a place for him on our roster. He's being blackballed. It's plain and simple.
No. I agree with that. He's being blackballed. But I'm just giving you reasons why it sounds good to not put him on the team. You get what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Like, because I'll give you an argument. There's no way that Johnny Manziel should get more looks than Colin Kaepernick. There's no way.
That's very true.
There's no way. And he's a bigger problem than Colin Kaepernick.
It's a perception. It is. Tim Tebow got opportunities because he was a high a perceived high character guy.
I don't think it's perception. I think that
he's a high quality.
I think part of it
Tebow is a high quality guy.
I think part of it's perception, and also part of it is the issue that he's fighting, which is white supremacy.
Yeah, I mean it's a bigger social issue there. But that you brought up Johnny Manziel, he can't get back in the league. Why? Because of his lifestyle.
But he's
and people don't agree with it. And this is how many black owners are there in the NFL?
None.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so how is he going to get an opportunity when basically that's what he's fighting?
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's the thing. What annoys me about is that I'm annoyed that people like Johnny Manziel gets looks and gets rumored that, you know, the Saints are interested, whatever. But Colin Kaepernick is just quiet. Nobody's interested in Colin Kaepernick. We talk about a guy who led his team to the Super Bowl.
Just the whole story, there's a few interesting dynamics, if you ask me. One is the dynamic when it comes to appearance or hair, when it especially
Mike,
when it's
that's Mike McVick talking reckless on that one.
But this is the thing though. If anyone, like, if you want to change your fortunes and or how people perceive you, what's the first thing people tell you to do? Cut your hair. You look more presentable. And then two, if you're an African American male, if you wear an afro, it's perceived that that afro
militant.
Black people associate Black Panthers militant aggression with someone that wears an afro. I think that's very fair. If you say no, I mean, with most African American males, if you wear afro, right, the first thing that the perception that people will give you is he's a angry militant black man.
Generally speaking, in society, I'll give you that. But, you know, and again, this is the sports world we're talking about. When Allen Iverson, his look was transcended.
Oh my God.
Kobe Bryant rocked the bush. Nobody was intimidated by him. And again, if we're going to get a job, is yes, that applies. But in this case, I don't think it does. I just think that because he draws so much attention, some of it is negative. People say, you know what, why bring him in? If he could help them win, if Colin Kaepernick was a talent of Michael Vick, I think he would easily be on the roster right now. But why do it? I think RG3 is similar in some ways, too. He brings a lot of media attention, and it's not ever about his play on the field.
He can't find
No, he can't.
Because he's garbage. He's complete garbage.
But he's better than Blaine Gabbert. To your point, yeah, he's better than Blaine Gabbert.
He can't read a defense better than Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert is horrible.
Blaine Gabbert is horrible. Yes, Matt Barkley is horrible. Ryan Fitzpatrick are horrible.
I think RG3 is better than
I think he's better than Colt McCoy.
I don't know about that.
I think RG3 has more physical talent from a throwing the ball perspective, but when it comes to analyzing the game from the neck up, being a quarterback, McCoy is far superior.
Yeah, I agree. It's time to go to break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about McGregor, Mayweather, the circus. Listen to Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig?
Dance for me, boy.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a soul. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
Seeing myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy. All right, Mayweather, McGregor have had some interesting pressers. A lot of stuff being said. You know, Mayweather using the F word, not the cuss word F word, but another F word. And McGregor is using words like boy and what else?
He's gyrating for black women.
he said to someone else about Rocky. Which Rocky movie?
Yeah, Rocky IV.
There was a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah,
Jim. He's kind of going ham.
No, I mean he's doing what he knows. He's towing the racial. He's look. I always tell people all the time, when it comes to boxing, historically the best viewed, the most viewed fights are fights that pit African Americans versus Latinos, right? Mm-hmm. The dream match for all of America would be black versus white.
Of course, yeah.
This is what you have here. You have black versus white. Not only do you have black versus white, you have two guys that are playing up to certain racial stereotypes of the African American community and also for the Irish community.
Very well said. Very well said. It reminds me of the 30 for 30, Boston Celtics versus Lakers. Did you watch that, Wally? It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was like Magic versus Larry, black versus white. This is what it is.
It's still like whether we want to admit it or not. Race is still race is still a huge issue in America.
Yes, we're gonna win this. I'm mixed, so I don't know. I don't really rock with Conor McGregor. I mean, he can't even box because
see, you heard what happened. Oh, go ahead, Ray,
here's
go
the
ahead.
Thing. You know what's funny is one very prominent TV analyst was saying, you know what, I hope this brings Floyd back. Once he knocks out Conor McGregor, who's a joke, maybe he'll fight like a Terrence Crawford. Maybe he'll, you know, lose some weight and fight Terrence Crawford, and we'll have a great mega fight with a young star fighting a great legend. Right. But somebody said he'll get killed if he steps in the ring with Terrence Crawford, right?
You know what I mean?
Well, what somebody said, but it's not as intriguing as what you just said. So I'm just validating.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, black versus white is...
We still have black on black crime.
Yeah, no, we do. We have a lot. Go to Chicago, you have a lot of it. Then, if you live in the PG County area, you've seen a lot of it of the first 13 days in July. Black versus white is still a very huge race. Is still a very huge underlying issue in this country, which people refuse to admit to, and we aren't able to have open conversations, which allows it to still be a very huge underlying issue in our society.
I absolutely agree, but just to play the advocate for a minute, in NBA there is no black versus white because there ain't no good white players hardly. So black versus black still works. In some cases.
What type of white player are you referring to?
Again, I'm being devil's advocate, son.
Are you talking about the European white? I mean, like the European.
No, we're talking about a American-born white player.
It's all good. You're being facts. Kevin Love versus LeBron. Kevin Love.
Maybe Gordon Hayward. We don't
Gordon
have
Hayward.
Anybody.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward.
We have not found that guy yet.
You mean that, like that bird dude?
That's what I'm saying in general. So yeah, but this is a global event. Hayward. Everybody around the world is watching.
Yeah, well let me ask you this. I'm still not. I mean, even after last week, it still didn't push me to buy it last week.
It's garbage.
No. But the crazy thing is, I talked to a lot of people. I went to the barbershop, and when the fight was first announced, a lot of people were saying, "Nah, I'm not buying that garbage." Then after last week. Oh man, I can't wait for this fight.
Them smirking while they doing all this?
They're business partners. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
But you know how irritating it is. In terms, if you're a boxing fan and you pay to watch this and thinking that you're gonna see a different result, it's like,
I don't think anyone who's a boxing fan would buy the fight. That you're going to see a true boxing match. But it's entertainment.
And you heard that he got knocked out by his sparring partner, right?
Yeah, I mean that's allegedly.
But it's a rumor out there.
It's a rumor that he was knocked out.
Man cannot box.
It's your fight.
Like Floyd.
But this is the thing though. But people are going to pay $100 to see this.
Exactly.
It's $100 for a high definition.
Like, this is going to be this. Like I'm hearing talks that this could be bigger than Pacquiao Mayweather. Like two actual boxers versus an exhibition. This is like fighting Floyd.
No, you know what's crazy to me, just how I view it, if this fight is the highest paid, is the highest revenue producing fight in the history of boxing, it's just going to show as a society that we don't care of anything of substance.
Agreed.
And we still are, and we all, and as much as we say we don't like drama and we don't like all the shenanigans, people still buy into the negativity and everything else.
Every day, reality TV says it. But, just watch Power. Tom Egan and Ghost, they pair well together. Black and white still work.
That's exactly. Anytime, you know what? Dude. Right now, you can never go wrong with referencing Power. Like, you can't.
Wow, that dude is really hanging on.
You really hanging on to it. You really, now that you found Power. You really
Ghost,
a book.
I need Ghost. Talk about black on white crime. You got a Power Netflix? No, black on white, I need one. Talk about black on white crime. Like, I need Ghost to kill, I need him to kill Ghost's attorney. The black one.
Oh, not Turtle. No, more Turtle.
Not Turtle. Cool. It's the other one. He's kind of annoying me. He's kind of got this holier than thou mentality. Like, you know,
crazy.
Like Ghost is a bad dude. Like, come on, bro. Like, just do your job. If you're not going to do your job, I need Tommy to go on that drink and kind of like, bang, you're gone. Or just shank him like he's been doing the last couple of episodes.
You really are into it now,
I'm into it, bro.
That's crazy.
Okay, yeah.
And also,
Thank you, Al.
Also, stick with Natasha. Don't go for no Angelus. That's where it's at.
Okay. Okay. I mean, you a hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, man, real ninja.
I used to for two yeah, for 3 years.
I'm a fan of this show, it's just my wife watches it.
Nah, for 3 years, I was like, Wally, you gotta watch it. It's amazing.
Like it. That's Reggie Bush to him. If you hype it up, he's not gonna like it.
This is true.
Unless he hates Philly cheesesteaks because it was hyped.
And I love him now.
Because he went to the right place.
Exactly.
And now you went to the right place and you watch it.
Suck. I said it, Philly.
That's what I'm saying. I told you, hype some, if you hype something, it has to follow through with a bang. Well, he won't be feeling it.
That's right. Almost. You're about right. Close enough.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we're about to knock the show out. It was cool though. Hey, first off, make sure if you don't watch Power, watch it. You know,
come on.
That's a real show. That's a great show. Ghost, man, free Ghost.
You don't like 50 though, do you?
Hey, Lala, keep showing them breasts.
And on that note, it's been real this week for y'all.
He's hating on Jay-Z album too, by the way. That's another discussion.
Hey,
it's another discussion.
Hey, Blueprint better than that joint. And you can't tell me that right, Kendrick Lamar album ain't better than
that. All right, man. In the show.
And you've been listening to Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You're hating.
Deuces.
Hey, Megan, lead us out, homie.
You're hating. That's what I need. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.